All right. As we prepare ourselves to go in more deeply with this, I want you in advance of these words to picture a garden. Now, if you're a gardener, I'm a gardener. I never say I'm a good gardener, but I love to garden. I want you to picture the garden, that soil when it is first tilled and it is so rich. Or maybe you're in a place where the soil isn't rich and it's rocky, or too much clay, or too worn out, it's just tired soil. All right, the garden is planted, and some of the plants thrive, and some of the plants don't even sprout, and some of the plants are scraggly. I want you to keep in mind this garden, and I want you to keep in mind your life, your heart, your soul, your mind is that garden. All right, are you ready? Here we go. Here we go. Picture with me a marriage, a husband, a wife, and as time goes, as they are early in their marriage, they say to each other, we want to go to Disney World. Yes, yes, we want to go to Disney World. Well, they say that to each other in the first year of marriage, and then the second, and then the third, and then the fourth, and the fifth. And by this time, they see the pattern that, yeah, it's something they talk about, but they never do. And then the kids come, and they have one kid, and they have two kids, and they have three kids, and every time there's a new kid in the house, every time new Disney movies come out, every time these two look at each other and say, we want to go, we want to go. And finally, their oldest was about 9 years old, and then they had a 7-year-old and a 5-year-old, and they said, we can do this. We can do this. And so they plotted out. All right, the first year that they tried this, spoiler alert, it didn't work. The first year that they tried this, they said to each other in June, we want to go to Disney World this year, and we think that we can do it in July. Well, if you're going to be plotting and planning to do something as big as Disney World, it didn't work. You know, as soon as they said it, his job ramped up and got so busy, and everything that was going on in her life, she had a job, and then taking care of the kids and getting them to childcare and back, it was nuts. And they got to July and found out that it just couldn't work. They'd done no planning. It just, you know, it was as if everything had just fallen on deaf ears. And so they said, okay, next year. All right, well, the next year came, and now they had a 10-year-old, an 8-year-old, and a 6-year-old, and they were so ready to do this, they started talking early. They started talking in April about it. And as they got closer to going in July, what they figured out was that there were too many expenses, because now their oldest was in braces, and it was so exhausting and overwhelming that they gave up, and the plans died on the spot. But next year. And so the following year, they started in March. But what they had not plotted and planned for was that whole issue of finances. They both actually had the vacation time plotted out, but oh my gosh, there was so much going on, and here were all the new things that they needed, and so they were out and buying. They were out and buying stuff that they really didn't need, really didn't want. But you know, when you have family, it just happens like that. The whole vacation got choked out. There was just too much that was going on, too much money issue, too much material issue. There was just too much. And it was at that point that they sat down with each other, because now they were about to have, in that next year, an 11-year-old, a 9-year-old, and a 7-year-old. And they said, this is it. You know, we have been talking our entire marriage about this, and we want to go to Disney World. So here's what we're going to do. Number one, we're going to pick the time. Turned out the best time wasn't in July. Turned out the best time for them was actually in late May. And so they picked that out. They each went to their employers. They got that set time off. Then they started talking about finances, and they said, you know, the problem is that we just don't plot and plan enough. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to figure out how to do an automatic withdrawal from both of our paychecks into a fund that we're going to call in the bank our vacation fund, and that way we'll be able to save up for it. And every month they celebrated. Every month at the supper table, they would have a night where they would talk about, here's how we're saving money. And look, here's the bank statement, and here's how much we have. And then they figured out, because it's never cheap to go to Disney World, no matter how you do it, they figured out how to do it in the most cost-effective way as possible. Month after month after month after month. And the last week of May came. And they actually got on the plane. And they flew down to Florida. And they went to Disney World, and they took photos, and they did PowerPoints, and they were able to put it on their Christmas card the next year. It was fantastic. It was the trip of a lifetime, because that's how long it had taken for that dream to come true, the lifetime of their marriage. I want to tell you, that is the parable. That is the parable that we're looking at. And Jesus said, we are the soil. Here is the word of God. Here's what's going on. The problem is not that that person is a rocky soil, and that person is the path, and that person is the thorns, and that person is good. No. We, each of us, are all four of those growing environments. Absolutely, there have been times in my life where the word of God was thrown on, and it was just seeds on a worn path. Nothing soaked in, nothing got through. How about you? In your life, what are the times that you can think of when the word of God just fell and bounced out of your life? There have been times in my life where I have been the rocky soil, and the seeds come, and I'm so excited about what can happen in faith, or what can happen in a church, or what can happen in my life, or what can happen. I love mission trips. What could happen in mission? But you know what? It grows up, and there's nothing to sustain it. I've really, really had to learn about this as a pastor in a church. If I have this great, awesome idea, and I'm the only one who has that idea, it is guaranteed to fail, because there's no root and there's nothing to feed it, and it's dead. And I will guarantee you that in my life, I have been in those times when the weeds and the thorns grow up and they just choke it out. Oh my gosh. You know, this is one of the things that the pandemic has really, really taught me. There have been times in my life where my schedule is just crazy. And now in pandemic, I have been forced to relax. And I don't know about you, that has not been comfortable. I have loved for all these years to be go, go, go inside of my ministry, inside of my marriage, inside of my parenting, inside of my activities, all the stuff that I love to do. Go, 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 go. And now I'm at a point where I'm saying, wait a minute. I was volunteering for the weeds and the thorns to grow up and choke this out. I don't think I'm willing to go back there. I know that there have been times that have really been destructive in my life. Well, then there are times in my life that have been the good soil. When the word of God has come down and I have been able to say, let it grow. And the soil that I have been planted in, the church that I'm in, the community that I'm in, the life that I live, my family environment encourages, nurtures me. And the word of God grows in my life. And the fruit that comes from that is huge. this is what it means to me when we talk about a couple going on a vacation to Disney World. So amazing that in our lives, whether it is the Word of God or something as simple as a Disney World vacation, there are times when stuff falls in our lives and we just say, oh, whatever, I can't even listen to it right now, and it falls off the path. And there are times when those ideas come and we say, oh, brilliant idea, I'm going to do that. But we aren't willing to put in the time and the effort, and the roots go down and there's no soil and we burn out. And in this day and age, burnout is deadly, and burnout is so common. And then there are the times, oh my goodness, in our American culture, when the Word of God or whatever idea it is that is in your life, when that grows up, but it's choked out because there is so much competition. There's competition from our work lives. There is competition from all the fun stuff that's going on. Busy, 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 busy. And we get choked out of the things that are really important. And it's so incredibly important to see that not everything has equal importance in our lives. I want you to reflect for a moment back on pandemic. In these last 3 months, 4 months, what is it that has been eliminated in your life that just wasn't important? What is it now as we begin to come out and begin to fill our schedules again? Is there anything yet that you've looked at and said, wait a minute, I really don't want to do that anymore? Guess what? You have permission to do that. Because part of what we look at when we look at where is the good soil is in the gardens that are our lives, we have to be able to identify where is this is the solid path. Where is the rocky soil and where are the thorns? Now, how is it that we, with our time, our energy, our commitments, our joy, where is it and how is it that we need to identify that that is rocky soil and we need to not plant anything in that? This is what I'm inviting you. I am inviting you today into joy. The joy that says that we don't have to be overwhelmed, the joy that says that we don't have to overschedule, the joy that says that we can put specific people as our priorities. The joy that says we do not have to worship our work. The joy of Jesus Christ that says there's more to life than just this. When Jesus would get to the end of a parable, oftentimes he would say, now, whoever has ears, let them hear. And so this is what I'm saying to you. As Scott tells the parable of Disney World, whoever has ears, let them hear. You are the only one who can control where you are planting seeds and how you are planting seeds and what that fruit will be. You are the only one in your life who has any say over there's a path, there are the rocks, and there are the thorns. So may it be this week that you back up, breathe deep, take a breath, and plant the good seed in the good soil. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Amen, my friends. Amen. I want to invite you into a closing prayer and into a closing sending. Lord, fill us. Open our lives that we might be good soil, and then fill us with good seed that we might make a difference in our world. Help us to be loving and caring, peaceful and patient. In the face of frustration, in the face of all that is disagreeable, in the face of chaos, Lord, help us to realize that we have seeds that are planted in us and that we are planting those seeds in others. Lord, move within us that fruit may grow.